In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The coming of the bridegroom is sudden and unexpected. For 3 weeks now, Jesus has been preparing you for his coming to be like a flash of lightning and as a thief in the night. We don't fear that day when he shall separate his sheep from the goats. We don't mourn as those who have no hope. For Jesus Christ, crucified and raised again, is coming to gather us to himself. Yet the Lord still says you're to be watchful and ready. But if you know neither the day nor the hour of his coming, how shall you prepare? How shall you stay awake and watch? Keep vigil in his church. Repent and confess your sins. Be filled with Jesus' free gifts flowing from the cross by the Spirit to you. To be prepared for his coming is to be made wise in his means of grace, to be clothed in the wedding garment of his righteousness, and to be received by him into the wedding hall. To not is to remain in your sin and be caught unaware, that is, to be unforgiven. It's to be excluded and condemned. These lamps, therefore, are the word of Jesus. David chants, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of Jesus is light and life of men, for he himself is the light and life of men. You find eternal life as you search the scriptures, for every dot and tittle is about Jesus and his substitutionary death for your sake. This light lifted up upon the cruciform lamppost lights your way into festivity. Without him, you'd remain in darkness. The oil is the Holy Spirit working in the Word and Holy Sacraments to create and sustain the flame of faith in Christ. He's breathed out upon you by Jesus from the cross to drive you back to and plant you within his holy wounds. And it's through the means of grace that the Spirit reveals to you, joins and brings you to Jesus the crucified. You are filled with your crucified bridegroom in holy baptism and absolution, in preaching and the Holy Communion. Where the Spirit dwells, he creates faith. And where there's faith, there's good works as evidence. That is to say, you fear and love God by loving and serving your neighbor. So be warned. Not everyone is saved. In the parable, 5 virgins who thought they were going in, having the outward marks of the church, are shut out. They went their own way, tried to buy their way in, and then don't understand what happened. The Lord speaks what is perhaps the harshest word in all the scriptures. I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. That you don't know means you might not make it home today, or to the end of this divine service, or even to the end of this sentence. And if Jesus has no problem interrupting funerals, then he certainly has no problem interrupting your way of life. Not everyone gets to go to heaven. So don't get drunk tonight or gossip. Guard your heart and stay free of sin. Watch and stay alert. For when the Son of Man comes, 5 virgins who think they'll get in, who have all the outward marks of virginity, don't. They're foolish, because they don't give proper attention to the working of the Spirit in baptism, preaching, and the supper. Jesus says he doesn't know them because they don't know him. Whether purposefully or not, they've ignored the voice of the shepherd and instead clamored after that of the wolves. They've fallen away and become apostates. They left the church and went after what? Their own way and works, the praises and admiration of others, entertainment and fun? Yes, all of it and more. It's excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. But whatever you call that reason you don't attend to Christ's means of grace, it's simply an idol masquerading in the name of the true God. But this God is so well liked, though, because he has no teeth, no wrath, and seems so nice, non-judgmental, and so accepting. He doesn't require any oil. You can do whatever you want, when you want, and it doesn't matter. So long as you're just really a nice, good person, somewhere deep down even, it doesn't matter if you're greedy or stingy, quarrelsome or rude, if you cheat on your wife, neglect your kids, or lie to your boss. Fine, go for it. For the toothless accepting God knows you didn't really mean it anyway. That's not the real you. Sounds scary, doesn't it? But this is why you must devote yourself to hearing the pure word and receiving the sacrament rightly administered according to Christ's institution. If not, your faith will not endure. If you're concerned with things other than your baptism, if you trade in the gifts of Christ for the praises of men, his righteousness for your own, your lamp will be empty. Don't let your oil run out until it's too late. For when the bridegroom comes, you will be found lacking. Fear God and his wrath for abusing and neglecting his gifts. But we don't. We think we've got him under control, that he's safe and harmless. That stuff about his wrath is ancient history. What do we fear? The opinions of our neighbors and our children, who might be mean or rude to us and hurt our feelings, our finances. Shut out of the wedding hall, though, none of that will matter. You'll find that God does take his word and sacraments very seriously. They're not to be joked around with or treated as extra little niceties, so long as they don't take up too much time. You'll discover that regardless of whatever you called that nice accepting God you created, he really only has one name, Satan. And you'll discover that he does indeed have teeth. Teeth he's just waiting to use on you. You didn't want to notice them when he was flattering you, but in the end, you won't have a choice. Repent. In spite of this, indeed, because of this, Jesus dies for wise and foolish alike. That Jesus suffers for every time you're lured away from your vigil is grace, an undeserved mercy. He's punished because you trade in, reject, and despise his gifts. He's crucified for your failures, iniquities, foolishness, unbelief, and sin. Jesus dies to breathe out the Spirit upon you. Now your robe is washed white in his blood, your lamp filled as he receives you into his kingdom with joy. This is what makes the wise so. They diligently attend to these gifts of the Spirit and have an abundance of oil. They're not somehow inherently better than the foolish. They also fell asleep, but they know who they were waiting for. They believed and trusted that the bridegroom was coming for them, that the same goodness and mercy which drives him to the cross drives him to bring them in with him. And as he brings them in, so he brings you. Like the wise, you shall endure to the end. God has not destined you for wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for you, so that whether awake or asleep, you might live in and with him. By grace, you are received into the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom. And as the signs of the end already happened in his crucifixion, so the four last things of eschatology, death, judgment, hell, and heaven, they've already occurred to and for you. You died to sin in the old man in holy baptism, joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus. You are judged innocent and he guilty in your place. In the Holy Communion, you are delivered to heaven on earth as you are joined with and to Jesus and with the angels, archangels, and with all the company of heaven. And all this as you suffer, endure hell all around you. That's why this world feels so wrong, while you mourn and wait. But as you wait and watch, take heart. You're waiting for your bridegroom, who brings with him a new heavens and a new earth, created to be a joy for you. Wake, awake, for night is flying. Midnight hears the welcome voices and at the thrilling cry rejoices. Enter the wedding hall to eat the supper at the call of the Lord Jesus, God's own Son. Here is nourishment for the wait and a foretaste of the feast to come. All your heart with joy is springing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.